The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. As always, we're here with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hey, Ira. How are you doing this week?
So far, so good. I cannot complain at all. It's been a really beautiful week, although turning cold, and I don't like it.
I know. It's freezing here today. It's raining and dreary and just cold. I mean, where is our summer? Especially, you know, where I live, we don't have a summer much to speak of anyway, you know, it's like I'm getting robbed of my summer.
Indeed.
It's like I want to put a heat lamp on or something, you know, just kind of fake it.
Pretty much.
Dude, all the rain. Are you kidding me?
I mean, I know.
So much flooding and, oh, just been horrible. Well, I'm hopeful. I mean, I have about like another maybe 4 weeks left before snow can come. So it'll change around before that.
Exactly.
So jumping right into Sunny's stories. Two of the stories that I have this week are kind of intertwined in their subject matter. I'm seeing a lot lately about, you know, child trafficking and the pedophilia rings and things like that. And so, these two stories, although they're not necessarily very current, you know, they're within the last couple of years, at least the one of them is, they're pertinent. And so I needed to share those. And this one is about a flight attendant named Sheila Frederick, who was making a round on an Alaska Airlines flight from Seattle to San Francisco when she noticed something strange. There was a blonde teenager wearing wrinkled old clothing who was seated by the window. And she was sitting next to a really well-dressed older man. Sheila noticed that the girl had a large bruise on her leg. And when Sheila looked at her, the girl looked up at her. And she said, "Her eyes just pierced my soul. They fixed on me, and I knew something was wrong, and I needed to help her." So thinking quickly, I give her so much credit for, you know, thinking proactively and thinking quickly. She went to the nearest bathroom and placed a note for the girl where she could find it and left a pen. And then she went back to where the young girl was sitting down, you know, and of course she had to be careful how she did it because the guy was sitting next to her. He happened to be looking at a menu. So she looked at the girl and mouthed the words, "Go to the bathroom." And the girl caught it and followed her instructions. And so she gave her a couple minutes to go to the bathroom and then went back to check the note. And sure enough, the girl had written back, "I need help." Oh, I got chills. So Frederick called the captain who arranged for the police to be waiting at the airport terminal when the plane touched down in San Francisco. Turns out the teen was a victim in an incident of human trafficking. She had been kidnapped for over 2 months by the time that she had gotten on that plane and Frederick had identified a problem. And she says that traffickers use commercial airlines all the time because it keeps them anonymous, said a woman named Nancy Rivard, who was an American Airlines flight attendant before she founded a program called Airline Ambassadors International in 2009. Rivard identified multiple trafficking victims before becoming frustrated by the lack of training that both she and her coworkers received in the area. So she founded this outfit, Airline Ambassadors, to teach crew members how to spot victims. And now they work alongside the U.S. Customs and Border Protection to stop human trafficking. I think that's an incredible venture and a very noble cause. And I give her a lot of credit for starting that. And Rivard says that it's incredible that this isn't industry-wide yet and that more and more airlines are starting to implement those similar training. When Frederick discovered this little girl, it was back in 2011, and since then she has actually become an Airline Ambassadors member and has received training in how to identify human trafficking incidents. And she just tells people to be aware of their surroundings. There are so many warning signs if you look closely. A few months after the incident, she was surprised to receive a phone call from the young girl that she had rescued. She called to tell her thank you and that she was back with her family and in therapy. And she and the girl still keep in touch every so often to this very day. The girl's going to college and working toward a brighter future now. So that was the first one that I had. And like I said, I'm like getting chills throughout the entirety of reading that, you know, and sharing that story. But as I said, I don't watch the news a lot. As you know, I'm really careful as to what I look at because I don't want it to influence stuff that I see and my feelings. But more and more, I'm seeing articles turn up about this type of thing and how it is becoming ever more prominent in the country. And so many children are disappearing on a daily basis that I thought it was worth mentioning, you know, and letting people know about that organization and others like it out there, which we'll go to in a later story. So jumping to positive phenomenon, you know, we try and do something spiritually miracle-based. I'm going to have you tag the video in this because the people really need to see the video in this woman's own words as to what happened with her. But this lady basically woke up from a coma and says to have had a message from Jesus. So it was really, you got to watch the video. It can describe it better than what I could tell you. But it's about a woman named Yvonne Skylar, or Scar, S-K-L-A-R. And it says how with long waits and inconvenient appointment times, expensive copays, it's easy to understand why a person who is feeling ill may avoid seeking medical treatment for as long as possible. But in this woman's case, in the case of Yvonne, the procrastination almost killed her. After 2 weeks of misery with what she thought was the flu, actually she was pretty sure it was the flu, she passed out. And later she describes her intense and painful coughs to a doctor and finds out that she has pneumonia. And as the doctors explained to her, pneumonia actually happened to be the least of Sklar's problems. Blood tests confirmed that the infection had spread to her blood and was heading into septic shock. And I went through that personally. My pop went through sepsis, and it's not only life-threatening, but it's a very scary time, and it's a very long, drawn-out procedure to get you well with, you know, many different weeks of antibiotics and different strains of antibiotics if one doesn't work. So because she was so sick, the doctors needed to medically induce a coma. And while she was in her coma, her family and friends were around her all the time supporting her and praying for her. And it was at that point that she says her life changed forever. And she talks about how she visited heaven and was given a unique message from Jesus. She survived the experience and then, you know, goes on to share her story of what she saw in the video. So it's really, it's kind of intense. It's emotional. But please, everybody, if you get a chance, take a look at that video. But it's another example of how miracles can happen in our lives. Did you probably didn't get a chance to watch it yet, right? Because I sent you the file right before we started to record.
No, I haven't been able to yet.
Yeah, check it out. You're going to love it. But so that's my positive phenomenon for the week. And then furry heroes, I love this one. I want this dog. A girl talks about her brother and his pit bull. And of course, you know, pit bulls and, you know, they get such a terrible rap, you know, from people because of the, you know, the actual, the people that train them, the bad people that train them to be mean and to fight and things like that. And they're a very gentle, sweet dog. I mean, in fact, actually, I think back in England, they used to be used as a nanny. Am I correct with that?
They did indeed.
Webby?
Yeah, they did indeed.
I thought so.
You know, pits have always been, they're actually very gentle. They're really loving. They're very loyal. Again, like you brought up, it's the fact that people have trained them or have mistreated them in some kind of way that ends up leading into the horribles, you know. But otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, if they're raised in the right environment, they're just like any other dog, you know.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just, you know how I am with animals anyway, but. But this story, I thought, was an attestation to how pit bulls aren't all bad, and I thought it was really important to share, and it's a really cool story. So this girl talks about how her brother was walking his dog, which was actually a pit bull lab mix. It wasn't a straight pit. and the dog's name was Hurley, in their neighborhood, like field or park, around like 10 o'clock at night. And she says he walks the dog that late so that he can actually, which I don't know if I actually agree with this one, but I get the, you know, I get the reasoning behind it. He walks him that late, so that he can let him off his leash, so he can go to the bathroom and explore, walk around, you know, smell different things. And so he was loose next to his owner, and they heard a young kid screaming. And before her brother could stop Hurley, he took off running after the sound of the scream. And so the brother went in pursuit after the dog, and he saw Hurley grab a copperhead from a little boy and fling it around and killed it. So the little boy went to the mom's vehicle, and they drove off very fast. So the brother wasn't able to get any information on the little boy, but they are assuming, of course, that the child left so that, you know, because he was bitten, and so that the mom could get him to the ER. And so the brother went and called animal control, and the Highland Village cops showed up to check out the scene, and they asked to examine the dog, to take a look at Hurley to see if he had been bitten. And to her brother's surprise, he was bleeding, had a swollen neck, and was foaming at the mouth. So sure enough, they found 2 puncture wounds in his upper lip and knew that he'd been bitten. So they rushed the dog to Denton Animal Emergency Hospital, where he stayed the night so that they could check his blood clotting ability several times throughout the night. And they got home the following day, and thank God, you know, the dog's doing a lot better. Seems a little uncomfortable, but was fine, just a little bit swollen around the face and neck. And so they continued to try and find out about the little boy. And what they had found out was that he had come across an actual, not just one copperhead, but a whole nest. And so the dog saved him from being bitten, or at least getting bitten multiple times. You know, if he had been bitten once, they never were able to find the little boy. They're still trying to find him and make sure that he's all right. But, you know, this dog is certainly a hero. And,
yeah,
you know, like I said, I thought it was kind of important to talk about because, you know, pit bull. I mean, there you go. There's an example of a pit bull that saved a little boy's life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Again, they're not born with a proclivity towards violence just like any other dog. I mean, they, you know, just like any other animal, period, if they're mistreated, they will end up going into, you know, a kind of a feral type of a mode. You know, any cat that's been through abuse, you know, you're going to have a handful on your hands, to say the least. You know, on and on and on. Any animal has that proclivity towards that kind of thing if it's been abused. But pit bulls in general, I mean, they're very loving, they're very loyal, and they will. I mean, there's been multiple stories just like that of dogs like that have rescued or you know, intervened into situations and saved people, you know?
Yeah, for real. I don't like snakes anyway. You like, you know that.
Who, you?
And I actually wanted, like, I really wanted, like, a Jack Russell when I was looking for another dog, you know, after I lost my little Rusty, because they're known as a breed that will hunt and kill snakes, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, you know what I ended up with? My three misfits from Tennessee, and Remy, the smallest one, the Chihuahua. She actually hunts snakes, and she kills them. So
well, there you go.
I'm good with that. She's smaller. I can stick her in my pocketbook and take her somewhere. I smuggle her into, like, Denny's and stuff like that. Last week, I smuggled her down to my daughter's apartment because, well, I asked the landlord. I mean, to be fair, I asked the landlord, you know, can we bring her in? But I brought her, you know, I drove 3 hours with the dog in the car figuring, well, I'm just going to sneak her in, you know, to see my daughter for her birthday. But yeah, it's small enough where, yeah, it's kind of like I never really liked the tiny, tiny dogs. But, you know, she was a rescue, and I put her in my purse, and I can take her places. And, you know, I mean, if she's going to protect me from snakes, I'm good with that. Totally cool with that.
Exactly.
I love it. So she's gotten a couple in. I got a little pond out back, and she actually kills them and throws them in the pond. I don't know what the deal is, but all three of the babies are hunters. And the big one and the one little one got a squirrel. and threw it in the pond. And then she got a snake. And then a couple of weeks ago, there were two dead mice. So I don't know why. It's better than them bringing it to my doorstep, right? But but everything they kill, they're throwing in the pond. So I got to check the pond every day. I'm like, okay, what dead thing am I going to come up with now that I'm going to have to bury or throw out in the garbage, right? Most throw them out because they tend to dig. So I don't want them digging up, like, you know, snake carcasses and stuff. They actually did that. There was one that we killed and put in the backyard, my buddy and I. And so he killed it because I didn't want to kill it. At the time, I think I just had come back from someplace and I had, like, decent clothes on. And so I'm like, dude, you kill a snake. So he killed it and he put it in the yard. And Remy came in the house with this tiny little dried thing in her mouth. You know, I thought it was a stick. So, of course, I stick my fingers in there like you would swab a baby that was choking. You know, you stick your finger in there, come out with a dried segment of snake. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Lovely.
So now I tend to throw things out in the garbage. Don't let the garbage man worry about it. But so, funny stories, right? Going into... Let's see. We got the next one that I want to talk about is one of the ones that's tied to the first stories. And, you know, and again, it's because I think it's pertinent. So for Seeds of Hope, we're going to talk about a gentleman whose name was Kevin Kimmel. And he's a trucker, you know, and he just wants everybody to be aware of what's going on because he actually saved a child also. He had pulled into a gas station, and it was a couple years ago, and he says it was a quiet morning with only a few people around, and he describes seeing a kind of unusual family recreational vehicle parked nearby, but something seemed off about it. You know, something just didn't seem right. The RV had black curtains on it, and he said it didn't seem very family-ish. So he watched, and a man went to the door and knocked before he went in, and then there was some motion inside the van, and then he could see a young female appear from behind the curtain and then all of a sudden disappear. So right away he called the authorities, and a few seconds later police cars were on the scene, and he saw them taking out a young female in very bad shape, and then after that a man and a woman in handcuffs. And later on, he found out that the young girl was a victim, that she had been lured away from her home, which was in Iowa, and had been severely and gruesomely tortured. And because of his quick thinking, he saved that little girl's life. So today, he goes on to talk about his experience at anti-trafficking events around the country and shares the importance of keeping your eyes open, and especially to truckers. You know, anybody that's a trucker or that's travels a lot for their career, please be observant when you pull into a truck stop and watch your surroundings. Look to see what's going on. You know, he says that truckers spend a lot of time in places that these victims pass through, you know, truck stops, all-night gas stations where they have parking for truckers, things like that. And he says that traffickers, of course, are constantly moving these people. They stay in the cover of darkness, and they can't stay anywhere too long. But when you're moving them, then you come into the world of the truckers. And he says, it's my world. And if we know the signs and we're vigilant, then we can make a big piece of this problem go away, he says. So he's actually made it his personal mission to educate truckers and even just ordinary people what to look for and how to help people that are in danger. And he focuses heavily on the trucking industry and, you know, letting truckers know, you know, to be aware of your surroundings and pay more attention at night at the truck stops. And, you know, it's just, it's a miracle that he saved that little girl. And the fact that he's bringing that farther and speaking around the country to educate other people to prevent this happening again and to help other possible victims, I thought was another amazing story in itself. And again, you know, over and over, I've been seeing this theme, you know, child trafficking. And we were just talking a couple weeks ago on one of our recent episodes about how many children you're seeing, because you're a lot more in the news front than I am. You're reading a lot more articles and seeing a lot more stories of how the incidents of children disappearing are becoming a very, very major headline factor, right? We're seeing more and more of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like it's becoming the thing that that's not talked about. You know, it's finally starting to break through the surface. With the truckers thing, you know, I've known a lot of truckers over the years, and one of the things that that I guess you could say I've known from them is this thing that they call lot lizards. You know, the prostitutes that are on the car lots and that kind of thing. And most of them, unfortunately, are minors. You know, they're younger girls. So there are those truckers that are out there that will take advantage of that kind of thing. But I also know from personal people that I know that they've many times called the authorities, you know, when they see one of these girls walking around, you know, they'll come up to the door and, you know, hey, you want some company or whatever, you know, or can I get a ride and that kind of thing, you know, and they'll say no. And then as the girl is going on to the next one, they're watching to see what truck they go to, and they'll call the cops and tell them, look, there's, you know, a minor that's here that's, you know, now in this truck over here, you know? So they've definitely done their part with things too, you know, with that kind of thing. They've never, you know, gone out and talked about it or anything like that, but it's a pretty common occurrence. You know, there are a lot of truckers that are out there that are watching for that kind of thing to happen. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you were talking about the lot lizards before. It's kind of funny, 'cause I got a lot of friends in the trucking industry as well. And, when my daughter's godfather went into the trucking industry, do you remember those little bead crafts where you could make little animals on a string out of beads?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she made him a lizard, and she told him that was a lot lizard deflector. And I don't think at the time she really knew what a lot lizard was, because I hadn't explained it to her. She was like, I don't know, maybe nine. She was little. But she had heard the term being thrown around. I think it was actually like at his trucking school graduation ceremony. I think she might have picked that up from a couple of the guys talking about experiences that they were going to, you know, get ready for this and get ready for that kind of thing. And so she made him one, and he hung that on his rearview mirror. And as far as I know, last time I talked to him, he still had it on his rearview mirror, like all these years later. So,
that's awesome.
So yeah, that happened. Funny life stories. Yeah, truckers are excellent. And I've always said that truckers and bikers, when you're on the road, can be your best companions. And, you know, so many times you hear stories of, you know, people that are bikers or truckers doing really kind things for humanity and helping people along the side of the road that have flats, you know, things like that. And I definitely feel that it's an industry that's totally underrated and doesn't get the credit that it deserves, because they're very hardworking guys. And, you know, if the trucking industry stopped, our grocery shelves would be empty. I've said this before.
It'd be done in a heartbeat. You know,
in 24 hours, we would have nothing.
The trucking industry is actually...
People just don't give these guys enough credit.
Yeah, they've actually done a study. The trucking industry themselves have done a few studies over the years about that. And they found that within 3 days, every shelf in the country would be completely cleared out. And it would take about, if the trucking industry shut down for 24 hours, it would take about 6 months worth of time for everything to get back to normalcy.
It would. A lot of people don't realize what these guys have to go through. I mean, obviously the regulations are stricter now, you know, so, you know, if they're running long, long hours, they're running illegally. But, I mean, these guys work themselves to the bones, and they're away from their families, the guys that are over the road. They're away from their families for weeks and, you know, sometimes even months at a time, depending on where they're headed, you know. And how many times, you know, you get to a delivery site and, you know, it's a Friday night of a holiday. And so the plant or the company that you're delivering to is shut down for the weekend. So if you want to deliver, you know, you're stuck there.
You're stuck,
you know,
sleeping
either
in the truck
at a local
for the
truck
weekend.
Stop or in their yard for a weekend or, you know, several days by yourself. Yep. And a lot of times major holidays when they're away from their family, there's nothing for them to do. You know, it's a horrible thing. And like I said, I give them a lot of credit. You have to be a very certain special kind of person to be in that industry. You really do. And, you know, you hear a lot about the bad apples and stuff and that frequent these we'll call them loosely termed ladies, but you know, overall, I mean, all the guys that I know, they're straight up, they're family men, they love their families, and they're just trying to do the best that they can to provide for their families, you know, and it's a tough job, man. I give them a lot of credit. I really do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, right. So jumping into those crazy kids, this is a story that I actually got off of a BBC website that it was kind of a side thing. I was scrolling for positive stories, and I came across this one. And it's about a kid named Fraser who's 20 years old. This child, young adult, actually custom fit his bicycle. I don't know how he ever got this idea. The video doesn't show it, but it's another video for you to post. You got to see this video. It made me laugh. I watched it like 4 or 5 times. But he custom made a bike so that he could actually go and pick up elderly residents and take them on bicycle rides to get them out of the house, you know. And he does like 4 to 5 rides a week, right? But he goes to nursing homes. He goes to shut-ins. And obviously, I don't think they ever actually tell you the location, but it's in either England or Scotland. You can tell because of the accent, the terms that they use. And the faces on these elderly people, the joy that they get, out of being able to actually, when they have no other person to come pick them up and take them to the grocery store or get out of the house, or they have family members. They talk about how one lady, she has a family member that, basically has enough time to get her to the doctors, get her through appointments, do what they need to do and get her home. So be able to afford these people an opportunity to get outside in the fresh air and go for a bicycle ride, which is something they wouldn't normally be physically able to do. I thought it was a really cool story. I thought it was very, very different. It was very ingenious how he came up with this idea, and the pleasure that he gets out of it from giving to others. Again, it's a positive statement toward the youth in today's society that, there are a lot of younger people out there that are doing really kind things, for people who are less fortunate, and, to be able to help the elderly and give them something to look forward to. And, like I said, you watch the video and you see these older women, laughing and giggling and, and feeling the wind in their hair. And, I'm sure that it evokes a lot of memories of younger times for them, being able to ride a bicycle, going out on a date, and being able to get outside in the fresh air. It's an overall very touching story. You got to watch the video. I think it's cool.
That is really cool.
The kids, it's, again, a very ingenious idea, right? Whoever would have thought, and it doesn't cost any money. Once you have the bike, right, it doesn't cost anything. He's just giving his time and his services. And I thought that was really special. So moving right along, we've got, you're going to love the comedy this week. I'm going to make you wait a minute. We'll go right into Vital Veggies. And this week I chose Napa cabbage. You've had it. I'm sure you've had Napa cabbage. What do you think of it?
It's really good.
Ooh, I hit one.
Indeed.
Yep. So it's a Chinese cabbage, and it's in the same family as Brussels sprouts, kale, cabbage. Some people call it celery cabbage, Chinese white cabbage, Peking cabbage, stuff like that. It's an annual cold season vegetable. And it's low in calories. It's packed with antioxidant plant compounds like carotenes and things like that. It's an abundant source of soluble and insoluble dietary fiber. And scientific studies have shown that the different compounds that are in Napa cabbage are known to offer protection against breast, colon, and prostate cancers, and also to help reduce LDL or bad cholesterol levels in the blood. It's a great source of folates. It's just, I like it. It's a different vegetable, but I really enjoy it. And I like to cook it and make it in salads. For this week's recipe, I chose just a basic, because it's so hot out here. Not here. It's not hot here. It's cold here. But, theoretically, we're in summertime, right? So a lot of areas are experiencing very hot weather, sticky weather. People just don't have a big appetite. And if they do, they want something light. They really don't want to have to run their ovens. So I thought this would be a cool recipe to try. And I actually, I changed the recipe around a little bit. So, and I'll explain why. It calls for a head of Napa cabbage, a bunch of minced green onions, a third cup butter. Okay, here's where I kind of changed it. It calls for a 3-ounce package of ramen noodles. And, you know, I've read a lot of studies about how those are basically eating plastic. It's poison. I don't suggest that anybody puts those in their diet. I mean, I loved those when I was growing up as a kid, those oodles and noodles. I loved the flavor of them. I would eat them when I was sick. I would eat them for a snack. I would eat them for lunch. I loved them. And my parents didn't buy a lot of junk food or packaged food. Everything was pretty much homemade. But that was one of the things that they did buy for me because my mom actually liked them too. And then studies now recently have shown how, you know, like I said, basically it's like eating plastic. It's poison. So I substituted, you can either, like if you recently had Chinese takeout, the crunchy noodles that you get with your takeout, you can go to the store and you can actually buy cans and packages of the really thin, wavy, crunchy noodles.
Chow mein, yeah.
You know, they're very, very thin. Yep. So I substituted those. 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds, 1 cup of slivered almonds, and you can substitute other nuts, but the recipe calls for slivered almonds, 1/4 cup of cider vinegar, 3/4 cup of vegetable oil. I would use olive. And then 1/2 cup of white sugar, 2 tablespoons soy sauce. And it's very easy to make. The only difference, because I'm using a dry noodle as opposed to a ramen, is it tells you to cook what they call the crunchies. So the first thing that you want to do is shred the cabbage head. Don't chop it, but shred it. Combine the green onions and cabbage in a big bowl. Cover it and refrigerate it. And then you preheat the oven to 350 degrees. And then what they call the crunchies, again, you melt the butter in a pot. And then they tell you to mix the ramen noodles. I skipped that step. So I melt the butter, the sesame seeds, and the almonds into the pot, stir it all around, and then spoon that mixture onto a baking sheet and bake the crunchies again in a preheated 350 degree oven. And you flip them often to make sure that they don't burn. And then when they're browned, you take them out of the oven. And then for the dressing, it's very easy. In a smaller saucepan, you heat up the vinegar, oil, sugar, and soy sauce, bring it to a boil, let it boil, stir it, remove it from the pan, remove the pan from heat and let it cool down. And then you just throw everything together. And it's so easy and it's really, really good. But like I said, don't cook. If you're going to do it my way, don't cook those crunchy noodles. You know, don't use ramen. That would be my suggestion. But it's really good. It's easy. It's a quick summer meal. And, you know, you do have to use the oven a little bit, but not for an hour like you were cooking, you know, pork chops or chicken, right, or something like that. And it sits well in the refrigerator, actually, for a couple of days. So you can have it as a side dish the next night if you have leftovers. I think it's a really great recipe. It's good. What do you think? You gonna try it?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. That sounds pretty good. We like to do a lot of cabbage meals here. You know, one meal that I like to make with cabbage, and this one works really well with it, actually, is so a secondary recipe for you guys is I'll take the cabbage and shred it up a little bit. You know, chop it up decently fine, toss it into a slow cooker, and then put in cut up bratwurst, and I let them both cook together for all day, and put in all kinds of spices, Worcester sauce, and I do kind of like a pizza type of medley, you know, with oregano, basil, some thyme, and maybe a little bit of rosemary if I feel like it, with some Worcester sauce, a little bit of seasoning salt, and there you go. You know, it tastes great and it's awesome. I love it.
It is awesome, and that's one thing that, you know, being Italian and learning to cook from scratch, we basically were raised, you know, not to waste anything. So, I mean, it's amazing if you start to play around and just take a little bit of time, what you have left in your cupboard or for leftovers, you can take and create a totally different meal, you know. You just have to be willing to play with it, you know, and test it and see what tastes good to you and what's not, you know. But literally, I mean, like I had leftover elbow macaroni the other day, and I made a quick, like, simple chili goulash kind of thing out of it. It took me like 10 minutes.
There you go.
Seriously. You know, so play around. You know, a lot of people, we feel like we're so busy, we don't have time for stuff. But these dishes seriously take literally millions. It's especially like yours, if you're putting in a crock pot, you put it in, you're done. You don't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Right? So there you go. And there, and again, that's another instance of you not having to use a stove, right? So happiness homework, again, in correlation with the previous two stories, I do this a lot when I'm walking around. You know, a lot of people watch, and I find it's very amusing and gives me great pleasure to do that. And I learn a lot, too, by just observing people. And, you know, sometimes if I'm in, like, kind of a not-so-great mood and I go to the park or wherever and I see people, you know, kids playing with their families and dogs running around, and, you know, just it can be a real up boost. But as a sideline to the two stories we shared previously, your homework this week is really easy. Just go to a park or, you know, walk around your block, around your neighborhood, and just do like kind of an impromptu neighborhood patrol. You know, watch what's going on. Are there kids around that are, you know, in your neighborhood unsupervised? I know that in my instance, you know, here, it seems like that happens a lot. People are still very trusting of our environments. I don't believe in living in a fear-based society. That's not me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be afraid to go anywhere that I don't want to go, that I want to go. You know what I mean? I'm not that person that looks to be, you know, okay, I'm going to cross the street. I you know, I got to watch to be hit by a truck or anything like that. But I am aware of my surroundings. And if we all do that, you know, when you're taking a walk around the block or to your park or just anywhere that you're out in public, pay attention. You know, and if there's something that seems a little off going on, be observant. It may be the difference between you saving someone's life and not. Just like we were talking about last time, you know, if you talk to people that are upset or depressed, you may save that person's life, you know. So that's your happiness homework for the week. It's really easy, really simple, and I hope that you do it. I think that it would be beneficial for you and also for the people that you observe if you're able to come in contact with them and help them in some way. So, going on to Comedy Corner, you want to do that one?
Sure, we can do that. I'm looking forward to it. These are both from one of my favorite people. So
that's why I chose them. And, you know, again, with the live comedy bits, picking stuff out of, you know, live comedy stand-up, this time, especially because of the guy that we chose, that I chose, you know, I did parts of bits of interviews that he had done. One is with Johnny Carson, and the other is the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. So here we go. I hope you enjoy them.
Enjoy.
This is from Sean in Atlanta, Georgia. You ever been down there, Atlanta, Georgia?
Been down there many times.
You know, the devil went down to Georgia.
When, really? And what happened?
The devil went down to Georgia.
Devil went down to Georgia right there. Devil went down there, had some fried food, and went, crikey, I'm going back to hell.
Yeah. Dear Craig and Robin, my mother surprised me by driving me in for Thanksgiving, but my wife can't stand her. Uh-oh. How do I ease holiday family tensions? I always pray for heroin. I don't know what wrong. What do you think, Robin?
Well, there's an old Georgia tradition is a big bottle of Jack.
Yeah, it's much the same effect, you know.
Yeah, and then basically after a little while, all of a sudden, Mama's like,
yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mama. God bless you. And then to add to that, the tryptophan from the turkey.
Tryptophan? Oh, that's the good stuff.
Yeah.
You should sell that street corner. Hey, gobble, 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 gobble.
Turkey junkies?
Yeah, gobble.
I got giblets and tryptophan.
Yeah.
And I got sweet potatoes in the back. Don't be afraid right now.
You know, once I was walking through when they used to sell drugs in Tompkins Square Park in New York before it was hipsters and their prams. There used to be a guy that, like, everyone else was selling Sensimilia, but all these guys going, Sensimilia, Sensimilia, Sensimilia. But there was one guy in a bright orange jumpsuit and a green clown wig and go, acid, acid. Acid. Check it out. Had no effect on me.
Right. Step into another dimension. Acid right here. Hello.
What's your name? Look on the back.
Hey, let it breathe.
You ever picture different people playing Hamlet, say, to be or not to be, like Stallone?
Oh, Stallone.
Mel Gibson just did Hamlet. Pretty good, I hear.
It was wonderful, I hear. It's, like, great to hear, right?
But I mean, Stallone, I couldn't
say. Stallone, you could feel like, hey, to be or what, you know.
Schwarzenegger walks into the room. I'm back. Watch out, Denmark. Mother, come here. I love you. Big kiss for you. Sorry, you're dead. Look over here. I'm going to do another speech, but first, I'm going to tear through a wall and flex my nipples. Don't be afraid of me.
Don't be afraid.
I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Nicholson, you can think of him. Yeah, he could Nicholson. Do great. He'd be a great Hamlet, just like neither a borrower nor a lender be. And the t-shirts keep for thine self. These are obscure references, but we must.
We throw him in just to keep the audience.
Shakespeare said, was it not him that said, kill all the lawyers first, but of course there were no agents then.
That's right. Who knew?
Who knew? 10%. My lord must give up that check for not feeling this. Carpe per diem sees the check, and yet Neil Bush still works. Why?
One of my favorite people, for sure.
I knew it. That's why I picked those. And those stand-up bits, I mean, the impromptu there. I mean, to be on a live television show, and the stuff he came out with was just amazing. And I think it was just recently we celebrated his one-year loss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to put a couple plugs in for old Robin. He's still one of my favorites, will always be one of my favorites.
Mine too.
You know, yeah, he's amazing. So I thought it would be kind of a different approach, like I said, to take pieces of interviews and just, the guy's a genius. You know, he was a genius. He reigned supreme in my eyes as far as stand-up comedy goes. I mean, there was just nobody better at improv than he was, in my opinion.
Bit of trivia for those that aren't aware. He actually is suspected. It was never diagnosed, but it's suspected that he had Asperger's, a form of autism. And that was one of the reasons why he was as good as he was. He used that disorder to actually help him be as, you know, weird and everything that he could be. You know, he used it to his advantage. So I thought that was, you know, great when I found that out, but, yeah, one of my favorite people for sure.
Yeah. And the other cool thing is, you know, because of the way that he passed, it came to light later that he was suffering with things like depression and anxiety. And so it brought those issues, I think, more into the limelight for people to be more aware of, you know, here's another story of someone that's very, very famous and very popular and very well loved. You would never know by watching his movies and listening to interviews like these that he was struggling with the issues that he had. So it's just, to me, it's another way for us to be reminded that, you know, somebody on the outside may appear and look normal or even like him, totally happy, go lucky at times, and they're still struggling with issues that we don't know. So again, it was a trigger for me to just, you know, try and be more aware and be more compassionate to people because we really don't know, you know. I mean, he seemed like the golden child, right? Whoever would have thought that he had issues.
Yeah.
But we don't know, you know, what people are struggling with inside of themselves. And the fact that he was able to overcome that for as long as he did and become as successful as he was is just an amazing thing to me in itself. And I really miss him, so... how much time we got, buddy?
We have about 15 minutes.
Oh, good. We got some time. Okay, instead of doing a Maggie's Moments this week, I just would like to share a little bit of our personal lives with the audience. We may seem like we're a little bit slow moving at the start of this episode, because we are. Ira's wife switched from a night job to a day job. And so here's a guy that's literally been up nights for years, and now he's got to adjust his whole sleep pattern. And what has it been, like a little over a week, right?
About a week and a half, yeah. I've been, you know, my working career basically was all third shift. So for the past, I don't know, 25-plus years, I've been a third shifter. And that's not an easy thing to change on the fly. So because of things that have been going on in the house here, we've... well, I've switched my sleeping schedule, so now I'm up at between 8 and 10 in the morning, and that's usually my bedtime. So, you know, it's been a little rough, to say the least.
For real.
This, you know, it's like this daylight stuff, it kind of drives me nuts. I normally embrace the darkness, you know, I embrace the night, and, you know, this daylight stuff, it's like the other day I was watching the movie Dracula, Dead and Loving It, with Leslie Nielsen, Mel Brooks movie. In that movie, one of the scenes of it is the Dracula, he's having a dream where he's cured and he's walking around in the sunlight. Oh, the sunlight, it's so warm. Oh, the colors are amazing. Oh, this is amazing. I love it. I love it. Oh, look at all the people. They're so friendly. Oh, can I have a piece of chicken? I'm going to eat this piece of chicken. Oh, so wonderful. And then he starts catching on fire and he's like, oh, I've made a mistake. You know, it's like, that's me right now. That's me right now.
And that's what I've been going through too, is because for years, you know, I'm used to being a night owl. I'm used to being up at night. I'm used to, you know, being awake at night. But my problem was, for years I lived on pretty minimal sleep, you know, where I would be up all night and then I would get up. I got a function in the morning, you know, and I kind of got used to that environment. But then, you know, the last couple of years with, you know, the pain stuff that I've had to deal with, I'm like physically exhausted, and now when I want to sleep, I can't sleep, right? So, and I've never been a morning person anyway. I mean, not in years, because I held so many night positions and was up so late at night for, you know, different things that I'd done, you know, whether it be an actual physical job, or if I was out working in the entertainment industry, you know, working with music people and stuff like that, and doing some managing and things like that, going to shows, you know, coordinating shows, things like that. Yeah, for years, I'm not a morning person anymore. I'm just truly not. So today, both of us actually happened to have some free time in the middle of the afternoon, and it was the only time both of us had to record. So here we are, mid-afternoon, and it's totally out of character for us. We usually like doing this stuff anywhere between like what, 6 and 9 at night.
Yeah,
right?
I've recorded in the entire 3 years that I've been doing this stuff, I've recorded this early once. And it was not a pleasant experience.
So if we seemed a little slow moving in the beginning, we apologize for that. We're trying to adjust our schedules to where, you know, we either need to learn to drink more coffee earlier in the day if we're going to do something like this, or something. I don't know what. But it's working. We're almost through it, and we're hoping you're enjoying the show as much as we enjoy bringing it to you. And this might be a good time, too, just to ask everybody, you know, we don't get paid for this. We do this on our own time, to bring, you know, positive things to you, and, you know, recipes, music, a little bit of comedy. Please support the networks. L&M Radio Network has been a huge supporter of mine, been doing interviews with those guys for years. I love Michael. And Ira's Network, Open Eyes Network. If you're able to contribute anything at all to them to keep this program and other programs going, we really would appreciate it, because it's all done by a donation basis. We don't get paid for this. So support these guys. You know, they do it for nothing, and we're bringing you what I hope to be quality programming.
Indeed.
Controversial programming and quality programming. And so, you know, if you can support them, please do so. Okay? Just even a couple bucks would help. Anything will help. Jumping into positive affirmations in scripture. This week, a lot of emails and stuff that I've gotten have been in regards to judgmental situations again. And again, this is something that I see over and over and over. It kind of ebbs and flows. It goes away for a while, then it comes back. It's always cyclical, it seems like, in forms of correspondence that I receive from, you know, viewers, listeners, clients, people that I help, whatever. So I chose this week, I have no right to compare myself to anyone, for I do not know their whole story. And it just, again, you know, look at someone's situation from the outside. You really don't know what's going on inside of them. You don't know what they've had to experience most recently. Ira and I have an acquaintance more for me, but a friend more for Ira, that just recently experienced a devastating loss. And, you know, you don't know what people are struggling with in their personal lives. And please try to be a little bit more kind and compassionate and understand that you don't always know what a person's going through. You don't know their situation. Give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, if they come across a little short with you or a little distanced, you know, think about that. Just think about how you would feel if you were in a position to where you were being judgmental toward them and how that would make you feel.
I'm reminded of a quote from Abraham Lincoln. I'll paraphrase it because I don't remember it exactly, but it's along the lines of, if I don't like this man, it means that I need to get to know him better, you know, and that's sort of how I've always lived my life. You know, there are people that I've encountered in my life where I've, you know, kind of made that snap judgment there at the first hand. And a lot of times, you know,
hey,
that's,
we're all guilty.
Yeah. A lot of times I think that's because of that empathic thing that I've got going on. You know, they might be in a foul mood or something like that when I first met them. And so that's what I pick up on, the, you know, from them immediately is, oh, they're just this foul kind of person. Right. But if I get to know them a little bit better and you know, understand why they were that way to begin with, you know, I might find myself encountering somebody that's a lot like myself. So.
And a lot of times, too, like I said, qualities that we don't see in somebody else are mirrors of sometimes things that we don't want to deal with inside of ourselves.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's important, you know. And, you know, like I said, 5 years ago, somebody would have looked at me cross-eyed and I'd have just popped him in the nose and not thought twice about it, you know,
yeah.
Honestly. And, you know, it's a journey. Like I said, we all have struggles and we all get lost in the moment and, you know, we're emotional creatures, you know, so we're all going to fall down once in a while, but it's really how we handle it in the end is what matters, you know. Give that person a second look, give them a second chance. You don't know, you know, what they're going through. And then as these issues emerge later on down the line, if you've been kind of cross to that person, it really can make you feel very badly about how you've treated them, you know. So I picked King James Version, Matthew 7:2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. So just something to think about. And again, you know, say these over and over, put them in your phone, piece of paper, whatever, but say them over and over and they will help you. Dancing and jamming music. We have, again, you know, I'm asking for submissions from original artists. I'm getting a lot of metal stuff. You know, we're trying to get these things a little more general so that we can put them on YouTube because we're not able to use licensed music on there. That's one reason. Another reason is because we really want to give people exposure that are in the original industry that aren't getting the exposure that they could have because this is a whole new market for them. This is a whole new venue. You know, there are listeners here that wouldn't typically listen maybe to some of the music that they're putting out there. So the guy that does the introductions for all of my shows, his name is Patrick Carr. And this is one of his originals. And you can reach him at pwcarrmusic.com. Check him out on SoundClick, buy his albums. But here you go. Here's a little bit of Pat for you. Hope you enjoy it.
expect the best. You're gonna get it from me. I wanna love you, give it to you free. Expect the best, baby. Get it from me. I wanna love you.
There you guys go. Pat Carr, a really great guy. I like his music. We've been using it on the Positude podcast here for a little while now, and definitely good stuff from him.
Yeah, that was called Expect the Best, and I really like his stuff. Like I said, for my shows and for this one too, like the intros totally, the lyrics totally fit, you know, the content, you know what I mean? But I'm using him for intermission strictly because all of the submissions that I've received to date just, I can't have the screamy. We don't want the screamy stuff on here. We can't have a lot of stuff with profanity. You know, we'd like it to be a little more bouncy and energetic for the podcast, for the Positude podcast. And, you know, so, you know, please, if you have anything out there that's worth submitting, let me at least listen to it. You know, I mean, I'll always be able to listen to it. And, you know, it might fit. And if it fits, we can use it. You said, what, 60,000 downloads, right, just for this alone last time you checked?
Yeah, somewhere around in there. Yeah.
On iTunes alone. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people are listening to this show, and we're very, very thankful and appreciative for the opportunity. But it's a way to give these original guys more exposure, like I said. So check it out. See if it's Maggie_Hart@Outlook.com. Send
for,
it to me. You
for
know,
the
I'd
record,
be happy to listen to it.
For the record, I do love metal, and if you guys want to send me the metal stuff, you can at feedback@OpenEyesNetwork.com.
I didn't say I didn't like the metal. I said it didn't fit the program.
No, no, no. I know that. I know that. But I love listening to metal just in general. So if anybody wants to send it to me, I'll take it.
If we if we go through my T-shirt collection, you know, I think everybody other than Ira would probably be a little bit surprised as to what we find there.
Pretty
much. You know. But anyway, so things my dad said for this week. How much time we got left?
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay. So for things my dad said this week, man, they're full of baloney. So M-E-H, they're full of baloney. Pop had an old saying that, you know, never get into a pissing contest with a skunk. And it's basically the same thing. It's just my dad and my pop put it two different ways. When you know somebody's, you know, pretty much not telling the truth or, you know, BSing you or BSing others, you know, right? That was just his way of putting it. And, you know, basically the lesson there is just don't pay attention to it. Don't let it bother you. If you see somebody or hear somebody, you know, that's not being entirely truthful, it may be a memory problem. You know, you may not remember exactly the way details happen, but if they're being deliberately untruthful, don't let it bother you. Don't let it go. Just rise above it if you can. And that was a very hard lesson for me. I had a recent incident where, as you know, all of my shows are on archive and our interviews are on archive. And so it's very easy for somebody to go back in there and listen to previous shows that I've done or interviews that I've done and glean information from that. And, you know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, you know, and to a degree, that's cool. You know, it's very much a blessing for me that we're able to reach these people and able to educate them on certain topics and, you know, show them our point of view on certain things. But in this instance, the person had come out with an article And it was totally fallible. I mean, it was just like riddled with holes. It was incomplete. It was inaccurate. There were misnomers, many misnomers in the article. And so just so happens, I had put out a show on 7/9, and I put up a post, you know, basically, you know, this interview is lacking, you know. And the reason that it gets me so upset is because it had to do with spiritual warfare, which is a very close thing to my heart. And I've been doing this for a lot of years. And when you're putting false information out there to the public and you're telling people to do things a certain way, if it's not correct or if it's incomplete, basically what happens is you're going to hurt that person and you're going to hurt that family. Because if you haven't cleared the energy completely, it's going to come back. And if you haven't done it thoroughly and appropriately, you know, it can basically, the attacks can become worse for the family. And that's where I take issue with it, is especially in an instance of spiritual warfare, if it's not complete and it's not correct information that you're feeding these people are going into a false sense of security. They're doing what you told them to do, and they're going to think they're going to be okay. And God forbid somebody gets really physically hurt or the situation really spirals from there. So that's why I have a problem with it. But I did a show on 7/9, and the person came out with another interview just this morning, actually, where they deliberately take pieces of my interview and use those almost exact words in their interview. And, you know, like I said, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. They had taken what I said out of context and used it for their example. But, you know, at least give me credit for where you're getting the information from, you know what I'm saying? And if you're going to take something that I say out of context, you know, that's not really not cool. Because when I put information out there for people, it's for a reason, you know, and it's pertinent to the situation at hand. And basically then it becomes blatantly an issue of stealing. And, you know, if you have any conscience at all, you know, everybody borrows from other people. We all learn from other people. But you know what? Be a guy, be a man, and stand up and come and ask me directly for information. Don't do it that way, because, you know what? Unfortunately, down the line, it's only going to show the person up, you know, because they're going to be in a situation where they have to come against something really bad and really fierce. And, you know, they're talking like they've been doing this for years and they have all this experience, and they're going to get bitten. They're going to get hurt. You know what I mean? So I just don't agree with that mindset. You know, I'd be happy to teach you. I'd be happy to show you things. I'm always available by email, maggie_hart@outlook.com. But you know what? Take the high road. You know what I mean? And then, you know, the second article actually addressed some of the things that I put up in my post about the fallacies from the first interview, which I thought was quite interesting. So that just further proves to me that this guy's totally stalking my page, you know, and basically, I don't want to say stealing my information, but that's what's happening, you know. And like I said, I don't mind if you're out there to truly help people, then you're going to be the kind of stand-up guy that was going to approach me and say, hey, I learned this from you. Can you show me how this works? Let me at least show you the right way. Because when you're educating people incompletely and the wrong way, my biggest thing is you're hurting those people. And that's where I come at everything I do from. I come at it from a personal aspect of, you know, I'm just a worker, right? I'm not doing this or saying this to make myself puffed up. We don't have, you know, the resources on the networks that we have. We reached thousands, potentially millions of people, 60,000 downloads on iTunes alone just for this show at last count. We reach a lot of people, but we're not in a financial position right now. And we're working on expanding our markets and our viewers and our listeners. But, you know, just because I'm not a big fish in your pond, that doesn't make it right. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I haven't done my research, that I haven't worked for years in this field, and that I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just unfortunate when I see things like that happen. And it does happen a lot. And again, let me emphasize, you know, we all learn from each other. You know, get a hold of me, be a man and tell me, you know, I need to understand this. How did you learn that? What are your experiences? Don't try and be a blowhard, because eventually it's going to come around and bite you in the ass. And so that's what my dad says. Yeah, they're full of baloney. And my pop, you know, don't have a pissing contest with a skunk.
I love it.
Because eventually people are going to see what you're all about. You know what I mean? They're going to see right through that. So just something that I encountered, and I'm sorry if I sound, you know, mean. I'm happy doing what I'm doing in the outfit that I'm doing it. We're getting more and more listeners. We'll get there. But obviously that's not my main goal. I'm not looking to, you know, my main concern is always for the person involved and their families and what they're going through and helping them the right way, you know? And that's about all I got to say about that. What do you think?
Sounds good. My dad always said everything comes out in the wash. So, you know, it's everything comes out in the future. It all gets revealed. And, you know, we're all here to help. We're all here to help out the people that are out there that are needing it. But, you know, doing things like what you're talking about that this other person has done, it's to me, it's no different than, you know, I'm a writer. If somebody like took entire chapters of my books and put it into their own and said, look what I wrote, it's no different. You know, it's the same. The same kind of mindset that goes into it. It's more than a little annoying, to say the least.
Well, I mean, it can be annoying, and I can understand that in itself, you know, from what I do, can be a spiritual attack. Like, that could be one way for the bad guys to distract me from the work I'm doing. If
exactly.
I'm going to spend all this time and energy worried about what this guy's doing, then I'm not focusing on what I should be doing.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to let it take me there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm not going to go there.
Exactly.
But know that I know it, know that I recognize it, know that I'm aware of what you're doing. And like I said, you know, please, we're here for a purpose. We're here to help people, right? Worry about the people that you're taking care of. You know, I had an offer to do a TV show. You know that, Ira. I could be a whole lot bigger fish in this pond than I am right now. Not to, you know, brag about myself or anything, but I chose to take a different path because I'm truly out there to help individuals. And as we grow and as we reach more people, you know, that'll come. I'm not worried about that. The reason that I want to get bigger and reach more people is so that I can help more people, not to make a name. All you got to do is, you know, look at you. I can show you a picture of this man's eyes. You could see it right there. You know, the deceit there, honestly. You know, and it bothers me because they're not promoting. You know, we're supposed to be doing this for other people. Teach them the right way. And if you want to learn the right way, I'm happy to show you. But don't take things that I say out of context. And, you know, now you're trying to correct this article. He obviously has got somebody editing his article now because it's much more well-written than the first one. And he's actually addressing in this article things that I had said, you know, this is fallible, this is wrong, right? And so now when he's trying to counteract what I've said, and still in his description, he's incomplete. He still isn't covering the whole subject. He's kind of touching on it because it's probably something you read someplace else. You know what I mean? And when you're in a situation like that, you cannot do spiritual warfare if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, because you're going to get the person hurt and you're going to hurt yourself.
Exactly.
You know? So, you know, that's why it's so important to me.
Exactly. It reminds me of another phrase that my dad always said, don't pee on my shoes and call it rain. You know, that's pretty much how it goes. But we are pretty much out of time, Maggie.
Be a stand-up guy. Get a hold of me.
Exactly.
How many times have I contacted people by email and gone, you know what? I heard that interview of yours. You know, you really, I could tell that you're legitimate. You really struck me. I learned a lot from you. I appreciate you. You know, like I said, we all learn from other people. We all borrow certain ideas even at times from other people. But when it's a repeated thing, you know, and I can tell by the subsequent, you know, in articles that you're totally stalking my page, you know, and paying attention to things that I've done. Yeah, that's flattering, but be a man and come to me and say, hey, look, I'm bigger than you are. I got a lot more listeners. Teach me what you know so I can help more people. I'd much rather he do it that way, right? And then, hey, if he's got the outlet to reach, you know, more viewers or listeners than we do in a week, and he's helping people the right way, I'm cool with that. I truly
exactly.
am.
Yeah.
But be a man about it. Don't be a snake. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't like snakes. You
and
don't
I'll
like
get
snakes.
A lot of heat from this. I can see the friends list dropping now. I don't care. You know, I'm gonna be who I am, and I'm gonna be honest. So,
exactly.
If you don't like it, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to be mean. My concern, again, always lies with the client and their families and the people that you're helping
yep.
or trying to help. And I'm not saying that it's not well-intentioned, again, but too many times it's happened in the past couple of weeks, so it's too much of a coincidence. You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
All right. On that note.
Yeah, we are pretty much out of time, Maggie. But if anybody out there wants to donate to the show, please go to lnmradionetwork.com. You guys can donate or subscribe to the network. There's all kinds of buttons all over the website to be able to do that with. Don't forget that you can find the archive of this show over at openeyesnetwork.com. For all of the past archives are over there, including all of my shows.
I love you, Ira.
There you go. And I'll toss this in here, too. If you guys are interested in my books, you guys can find them over at originalworlds.com. I have my new book, Haunted, Finding an Explanation for the Unknown, that just came out here a couple of weeks ago. I'd love for all of you guys out there to pick it up. It's a great book, and hopefully everybody out there will enjoy it.
And mine are on Ex Libra, or you can get them through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, No More Monsters, and I Am Energy. And I think it's awesome that we're able to plug our different shows and stuff on, you know, the other shows that we do each personally. I think that's really cool. So
indeed. But we are pretty much out of time. Maggie, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a great show, I think, and hopefully everybody out there enjoyed it.
Thanks, Ira. Love you, buddy.
Love you, Maggie. Everybody out there, have a great week. We will talk to you again next week.
Go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer. All those years I spent in lonely isolation, claiming I had no reason.